Welcome to Inspire and Move, the show that inspires you to create, connect, and grow. I'm going to bring you meaningful conversations, aha moments, and all the motivation you need to up-level every part of your life. I'm Allie Arruda, founder of Inspire and Move, and your personal hype girl. I've gone from fashion school to celebrity stylist to corporate marketing to brick-and-mortar entrepreneurship with my husband, each time learning incredible lessons how to pivot, reimagine, and implement the steps to become successful. I am passionate about inspiring others to live their best life, a life of joy. We have the power to design a life that we love because life is too short not to. The best part is that you weren't meant to do this alone. If you feel like you were meant for more, let me ride shotgun with you, and together, let's get you to where you want to go. Hey, you guys, I am so excited for today's episode, which is actually a first here on the Inspire and Move podcast. This is a part one of a part two series for the very first time. It is with my friend Aisha Marshall, the powerhouse behind the It's Butterfly Season podcast, amongst a few other amazing things that you're going to learn a little bit more about in this conversation. This was from my trip to Arizona earlier this year, and we just had such an amazing conversation about a nice variety of topics, and I am so excited to share part one with you here today. I hope you enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Inspire and Move podcast. I am so excited for today's episode. We are coming to you from beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona, one of my favorite places, and I'm here with one of my favorite people. And guys, buckle up. If you don't know who this beautiful butterfly of a human is, you are in for such a treat. You have the pleasure, and I have the pleasure, of welcoming my friend Aisha Marshall to the show today, and I am so excited and grateful to have you here. You have been so transformative for me, and I think you're just a beautiful person, a beautiful soul, and I've loved watching your journey just for, you know, a short period of time that you've been in my life for, and I'm so grateful and excited to have you here today.
Thank you.
And for my community to learn more about you, what you are all about, and I had a big goal of what I wanted to chat about today on the show, but I want to go a little bit deeper on your entrepreneurial journey as we kind of flow through the conversation. But what was the spark that really launched you into entrepreneurship?
Oh my gosh. So here's the thing. I didn't have like an initial spark. I was actually doing entrepreneurship things, but didn't know that like I was being an entrepreneur. I went to Cronkite, which at ASU, it's like the top journalism school in the country. And at the time it was like the transition between like print and digital media, like social media had just taken a big rise when we were in high school. Now we're in college and we're seeing like citizen journalism and all the things. And so they taught us how to do everything, blogging, website building, branding, logo design, because every reporter had to like do it all if you wanted a job. And so I just would like have a blog, and then people would ask me to build them a logo for their brand. And then I would do that and be like, well, try this and do this and do that. So I was just like basically doing what I've done, but like for free, for like actual companies and businesses. And I went to law school shortly after and like wanted to make a buck here and there, because in law school, you like can't work. Like legitimately, you have to get approval from the dean to work a job while in law school. So it's wild.
Like even if you're like, I want to work at Starbucks while in law school, you need approval for that.
Correct.
Oh my gosh. It seems like so many extra steps.
Well, because there's no time to work. And so they're just like, you're actually really at the end of the day, like you're messing up their metrics if you're dual focused, and meaning dual focus would lead to probably not performing well in school. And then they're not passing the bar. And then their school looks bad when you don't do that. So I would just like on the side without approval, like do things here and there for people for like extra money in law school or even in college. I wanted hair extensions so bad. So I just taught myself how to do it. And then I did it on my roommate, and she was in a sorority, and I would have all the sorority girls in and out of my house, and I would just be doing extensions in their hair. And they were like sewn extensions. So like braided, weft with like a weave basically. And like, the white girls just weren't doing that at that point in time.
I've had one of those.
Yes. Like, I remember at that time, someone took a photo of Kourtney Kardashian, like, fully braided in the back, sewing a weave on. And people were like, what is she doing? And all the black girls were like, girl, this is what we've been doing. So I would do that for, like, the sorority girls in college, and would just, that's how I made my living. So I never had a spark. I was never like, ooh, I would love to do this idea. I was always just like hustling.
I love that. Well, I mean, that speaks a lot to who you are as a person and what kind of thoughts you have and your willpower and your mind and, you know, seeing where you have gone. And I want to learn a little bit more about your clothing line. And I also want to talk a little bit about White Atelier. And so in whatever order you would like, I would love to just hear more.
So White currently, that's a little bit more of a short story and we can kind of get into it. But White is on the market. I'm actually selling it.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. So this is like breaking news. I had a buyer and it literally like just fell through, which is so weird. You hear people talk about that like on TV or in articles about how like there's a proposed sale and people are working towards it. And then like it falls through and I'm like, oh my God, like I guess now I'm in those shoes.
Yeah.
So I'm entertaining two other prospective buyers and yeah, with the intention to sell.
That's amazing. Was that always your intention when you came up with the idea and put it into action?
No, it wasn't. I just like my background for 7 years, I ran a creative agency. We did branding, marketing, and PR. And so the nice thing about that is in tandem with Cronkite and journalism school, I have like the tools and the skills that a lot of people don't have when they're starting a business. So when it comes to like bringing something to life from scratch, I can do that in my sleep. And so I built a jewelry brand because I was really excited about it, particularly because of my experience designing this ring.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. As like a gift to myself when I got Forbes 30 Under 30. And so I was like, well, I think this would be great because a gap that I found in the market was that there weren't unique pieces out there. You get like fast fashion stuff, but nothing that you can add to your wardrobe that's a timeless piece. So I'm like, well, why don't I just make something? Well, it was my godmother that was like, why don't we just make something that you would like? And in that process of making something, I'm like, oh, this is easy. I can like build a business off of this. What I realized though, after shutting down my agency, a lot of what was exposed like to me was that I was attaching my worth to things. And so I would attach my worth to the fact that I ran this creative agency and we did all of this great work and how much revenue we brought in, or that I have Forbes 30 Under 30 or like any shiny object. And after like dwindling that down into like what is the like, what do they call it? Your evil villain moment, like the moment you become an evil villain, like what happened, right? Like your villain origin story. And so mine was when I was in high school, my mom was a single mom, so she was working a ton and just like wasn't at my events. And I felt like the only way to get love from her was if I was like the best on the team, because then a parent or a teammate would tell her how good I was. And so that like villain origin story started to bleed into entrepreneurship and performatism and what that means for my self-worth. And at the core of it, it was what I think you think of me is what I think of myself. So I'm giving you the power to actually dictate what I think about me. And so it was uncovering that really is why I shut down my agency. Uncovering that led me to White. Now, sometimes I call it taking another lap. It's like, you know, like you repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again. New fact pattern, new people, same mistake, right? Until you finally learn the lesson and then you don't repeat it. I call that taking another lap. With White, I took another lap. Instead of like being still and just sitting with all of the emotions that come with shutting something down after 7 years, all of the accolades that come with it, all of the identity that I tied into it, I attached my worth to another shiny object.
And what was that timeline? Like from shutting down the agency to starting White, was it, you know, a quick idea and putting it into action so that you didn't have an opportunity to, I'm going to use the word grieve, which can, you know, that there's a lot of energies behind that word, that you didn't really have an opportunity to process and, you know, grieve, you know, closing this down, but also celebrating that this agency was something that you built and ran for 7 years.
I think, so I want to say I shut it down in July. And then I had the idea, I think I got the LLC in November, December, and then I launched in February. So was that July? I mean,
that's pretty quick.
It's quick. But here's the thing. I think that I would say that time is not the only factor. I think the factor is whether or not you can process and identify where the fork in the road is for you to either take another lap or choose a different pattern, like mm-hmm. choose the better thing to do, right? And so it could also be a time. I'm not saying that it's not time. I'm saying I didn't have the tools to know that I was taking another lap. I just thought, let me work on myself. I kind of have an idea. Like, this is my process for explaining this to you is with hindsight eyes.
Love that.
Understanding in hindsight. I didn't have the awareness then to know I'm making a decision to take another lap. So what was revealed to me was that, like, I can get success with white, but it felt the same as, and I did get success with white, but it just felt the same as a creative agency. Like, push, push, push. And then there's, like, a dichotomy with that too. How much push is pushing something against the grain, against the flow of energy, or just being a hustler and an entrepreneur? Like, it's hard, and that answer is kind of only within yourself. So yeah, so that's what led me to selling white.
That's exciting. And when did you have the agency? Did you sell the agency?
No.
So this is the first for you?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's been an exciting process. I mean, I love it. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Like, there's nothing that I don't love about it. It's just an interesting thing when, like, you love something so much and it's not entirely toxic. Maybe the reasoning behind why you started it could be, and that doesn't mean that you have to end it, but it's, like, interesting to love something and then to be like, yeah, this is, I just made this for someone else.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, before I want to know a little bit more about the clothing line as yeah. well, but kind of on the notion of closing this chapter, what's exciting you? Like, what's kind of flowing through your mind when, as you think about who is going to buy white and what are they going to do? And you know, not necessarily what is their business plan going to be for white and what you've created, but do you have, like, creative juices flowing of what's really exciting you right now?
I am so unmarried to that just by virtue of going through the first process of, like, getting really close to selling with someone else. Because everyone has their own, like, vision of how things will morph. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I'm married to what I've created solely and it only being that vision, I think I might rob someone else of the experience to, like, be like, hey, I can take this and I can run with it. You know what I mean? And what lights me up is really what had me make the decision to even sell something that I think is so beautiful and bomb and I love it and it's great is actually butterfly season, which is where the merch comes in. So, like, I guess when you say clothing brand, I'm like, oh, I guess it kind of is.
100% it is.
I think of it, I mean, I do, like, style it with my real clothes, but I just think of it, like, as a merch. Like, it feels like concert tour, like, vibe stuff. Athleisure, maybe, even, just because by virtue of it being a sweatshirt. And we're dropping, like, some fun things coming up soon. But, like, yeah, that's what excites me. I'm unmarried to who this lands on because I know that sometimes we create things for other people.
I really respect and I feel that you were just so open. It's almost like you're in this, like, beautiful moment of stillness.
Yeah.
No expectations attached and just this open, clear path for whoever comes into your orbit and adopts your baby.
I know.
With a feet. I love that.
I know. I'm excited about it. I mean, I've been having interesting conversations with people. It's a lot of, like, men for their daughter or for their girlfriends or for their, like, it's just so interesting and been a fascinating process. And everyone's so different. And I'm just like,
what a neat life experience, though, you know? Like,
yeah.
I feel like there are a lot of entrepreneurs, many of which that we are, you know, friends with or in networks with, that they are building incredible companies that they're going to sell. Mm-hmm. And they know exactly what that process is going to look like. You know, maybe not everything down to
yeah.
a T, because
yeah.
you have to leave room for magic and the unexpected. But building a big company that they're going to sell, it's going to yeah. be life-changing yeah. and, you know, X, Y, and Z after. Yeah. But for you to have created something with no expectation on the other side of selling, and yet you're in this, like, really neat life experience. And
yeah.
it's this whole new journey.
Well, to be fair, with my first buyer, I did have an expectation. Well, eventually, after over time with conversations, I had a really clear expectation. It was this gentleman buying it for his daughter who was in high school because he wanted to teach her entrepreneurship.
Oh.
And I thought that was the coolest thing. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, if my parents realized that what I had in me in high school and to foster that, like, it would be insane. And so I was really married to that idea. And then like there were conversations around what consulting would look like to like help foster that growth. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like also a gift back. So I was married to it. Uh-huh. And like a little heartbroken when everything kind of fell through, but it was for the best, honestly. And so now I'm like, eh, whatever's clever.
Love that.
Yeah.
It's interesting you say that there was a father for a daughter. That's sort of the backstory of the gym that Matt and I bought.
Oh my gosh.
It was a father that bought it for his daughter. She had a fitness journey that she was going on and had had great success with a personal trainer that used to work at the gym, had lost 100 pounds.
Wow.
So he bought her this gym. And I don't think it was an energetic match for her to be in a place of connection. And I mean, there was no real community there yet.
Yeah.
But it's just so interesting hearing you say that, that on the back end of our journey into entrepreneurship with buying a brick and mortar, it was a father for a daughter. And then ultimately he was like, you know what? This is not a match. This is not going very well. I would rather just sell it, get some money, and she can go find something else to do.
Yeah.
Who knows how that landed on the other end.
That's why, too, I'm like, you just never know. Like, you really never know. So.
Okay, butterfly season.
Yes.
This is one of the topics that I've been so excited. I think I teased it on a previous episode I did. That I was like, I'm so excited to have my friend Aisha on here talk about butterfly season. And I first heard you talk about butterfly season for a keynote that you delivered at Keisha's event, Empower Her Live, which was amazing.
That was the inception.
Yeah, I feel like it was too. And I mean, I didn't know that. I was in the lobby, you know, in the audience with Matt being one of the five men that were there. All other men were husbands of keynotes.
Yes.
So we always have a good chuckle.
Well, you want to know something funny? So speaking of husbands, because Cam was there too. And you know, Trent Shelton spoke.
Mm-hmm.
This gal comes up to Cam. So my husband, for people watching or listening, this speaker named Trent Shelton, black guy, played football, has dreads. My husband, black guy, played football, has dreads. Do they look like each other? No. I mean, maybe they're the same height. I don't think they have the same physique. Whatever. That doesn't matter. This girl walks up to Cam.
Amazing. I love where this is going.
She's like, I'm not there, but mind you, he's by himself, like standing where the speakers like are sitting.
Right? So there's not really like a reference point.
There's no reference point of
this speaker and this speaker are married.
Right.
Okay.
So, and Trent's not there either. It's just Cam in the back. I don't know what I'm doing. Anyway, this girl comes up to him and she has something in her hand and she like grabs his hand, opens it, puts it in her hand, his hand, closes it and says, thank you for all that you do. And I like walk, I see at the end of it and I'm like, what is happening? And he's looking at her like, you're welcome. She walks away. I look at him open his hand and it's this like crochet yellow heart.
Oh my gosh.
And so I walk over. I'm like, who was that? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? He was like, she just told me thank you for all that you do. She gave me this heart. And I'm like, oh, I know. He's like, what? And I Google, I'm like, this guy spoke earlier today. And he's like, oh, oh my God.
100%. She thought that Cam 100%. Was
100%. And she realized maybe like an hour or so later, mortified, like tail in her butt, head down, like walking up to Cam and was like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, did she ask for the heart back? He's like, no. I'm like, you should have gave it to her.
That's an amazing story.
Oh my God, so funny. So like Cam also had like an interesting husband moment at that event.
I love that. That was a great event. And that was one of the first events that Matt came to. And he really participated. He owned the fact. He's like, I am the only man sitting in the audience.
Yes.
The rest of the men are in the back and they are 100% husbands of the organizers, volunteers, or speakers.
Yeah.
But that's where I first heard your keynote about butterfly season.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I stopped breathing for a period of time in your keynote because I was like, this is such a beautiful message. And this would have been October 2022.
Yeah.
So it was about 1 year since I had lost my dad unexpectedly. Mm. And I talk about that sometimes on the show. Still very much an open wound. So I talk about it in microdoses.
Yeah.
But when you spoke about butterfly season, I felt so captivated by your message. And I would love for, you know, you to elaborate. But I feel like as a receiver of that message, I was able to identify with a journey that I was going through, sort of rebirthing myself from this trauma and a grief journey. And grief journeys can be long, it can be short, different for everyone, but still very much in mine. And I felt like I was just being so seen
yeah.
by your message of having this beautiful rebirth of, you know, yes, this has been a horrible experience and a little cocoon vibes.
Right.
In the rock bottom experience.
Right.
And then eventually, and I talk about this a lot on the podcast of how like the good thing about rock bottom is that there's only one direction. Yeah. You can only go up and, yeah. it, you know, could be long, could be short. You might claw your way out. Could be gritty
right.
and messy. But that's what I was kind of coming out of. And to hear you speak about this butterfly season and this transformation and how beautiful that is to just be reborn into who, what you want to be right. and where you want to go.
Thank you.
It was just such a powerful message. I think about it often.
Wow.
And I feel like I have passed that message along in yeah. a very, you know, general way yeah. of sort of using yeah. the butterfly season to your credit of what you've created. And I would love for you to share that because this is like straight from the source, you guys. Like you're hearing butterfly season from the butterfly herself.
So really, the really beautiful part about that, one, speaks to like friendships and people seeing things in you before you see them in yourself. And so Keisha and I were in Chris Harder's mastermind 2 years together, I think 2 or 3, I cannot remember, but it was when I was shutting the agency down and I was like, I have nothing, I'm worth nothing, what is life? And her husband is a projector and an Enneagram 3. So projector, I believe he's a projector in human design and he's an Enneagram 3. And we were kind of raised the same way, like from immigrant family where people listening with immigrant families might resonate, but like, you're either a doctor or a lawyer or like you have to do what you need to do to get out of like that environment. And so with that, being accolade driven as an Enneagram 3, it was just like a whole mind fuck. So she saw like a lot of what her husband was going through and I was going through. And I felt like she was one of the people who like seen like through all the chaos that was happening and was like, you know what? I'm going to throw my first event and I want you to keynote and I want you to talk about transformation. Because I know that by the time I throw my event, you will be on the other side of this. And I remember being like...
Did you stop breathing?
I was crying. I was already crying in that conversation. Like, we were in this, like, small group, and I didn't even know what the exercise was. It was, like, me, our friend Natalia, and her, and I literally was sobbing during the exercise because I'm like, I don't know what I want to do in life, and, I, like, all the things. And she's like, okay, well... I know you're great at speaking and I've never thrown an event before. So why don't you keynote at my event? And I was like, okay, not knowing what I was going to talk about. And then one day I was at a conference and it literally just dropped in the whole thing. And I like stopped what I was doing. And I was just like writing it in my notes. And then I was like, okay, well, this is the keynote. I'll just elaborate on this and then go deeper in it.
Oh my gosh.
And that's literally how I even ended up on that stage speaking about that exact topic that ignited the podcast, the merch, the everything. And like that day that I spoke, I text my branding girl and I was like, hey, I'm going to start a podcast. I just need you to send me an invoice for like the branding because I'm not going to actually take action on it unless I know that I'm responsible to like following through on something with you. So like just do it. We'll talk about it later. I don't want to turn around from here. And so she was like, okay, sent me the invoice, just paid it, like literally at the conference after I spoke. I'm like, I'm going to talk about this. I think this is a thing. I feel like deeply that this is like actually where my calling is at, which is interesting because as a projector, like one of the things that one of your gifts are like the way that you are seen. Everyone wants to be seen. Everyone wants their like stuff to take off. Everyone wants all the things, right? And that's okay that we want that. That's fine. But one of the ways that happens is when you help people see themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's literally what butterfly season is. And butterfly season is the end of a culmination of events. You have like caterpillar season, which in my opinion is like you think that everything's happening to you, kind of victim mentality. You don't realize that you have so much control over your life. And then cocoon season is you're realizing, oh shit, like I'm actually the person that's in my own way. There needs to be like a unlearning of my patterns and behaviors and then a relearning. So like think about those, that fork in the road, right? Like, am I going to take another lap or am I going to unlearn what makes me take another lap and relearn like the path that I actually want to go down? That's cocoon season. It's messy. It's ugly. It's like something that nobody wants, but everyone knows when they're in that season of life where like nothing's working out. You're having to go inward, unlearn to relearn. It's not fun. you don't know what's next. But when you do the work, the beauty is actually in that transformation. The beauty is in there. That's where you create. And then afterwards, you live a butterfly season. So butterfly season is the end of a three-part process, I would say.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love this episode, it would mean the world to me if you took 30 seconds and shared this on social media, send it to a friend, or leave a 5-star review. There is power in community, and I am so grateful to have you part of mine.